I'm Chaplain Karen Eden. For years, I worked as a TV reporter and journalist, covering the stories assigned to me. Today, I'm on a different assignment, and I'm taking orders from a different boss. I've combined my reporting skills with my spiritual ability to come up with a new assignment, the Eden Assignment.
This program is sponsored by the American Martial Arts Alliance Foundation and Elite Publications. Everyone has a story. You just have to get it out. Visit Elite Publications at www.elitepublications.org.
Every so often, I'll drink this tea. It is a detox tea, and I don't do it all the time, but there are many times that I'll come home from a trip or an event, and I'm at other people's mercy about what I can eat. I'm out of that my original routine, which I try to keep about as healthy as I possibly can. And I basically will be like blah, like, ugh, you know, a little slow, sluggish, feeling bloated, can't focus or concentrate, maybe low energy. So I'll go drink this tea. Detox teas, they're available at any basic health store, probably any grocery store. There's a lot of different kinds, and they're all very good. I've never had one that I didn't think was very good. There's only one problem with detox teas for me, and that is they taste horrible. Horrible. I mean, that's one reason I don't do it all the time right there. But I think it's very important because we're these big sponges that walk around and we absorb air with toxins. We absorb water. We absorb things and they'll stay in our system and build up over time. So I don't know exactly what the scientific data is out on detox teas, but I've been doing it for years and years and years. And I am someone who definitely has seen it to make a difference. So that's not a plug for detox tea. I actually have a reason for bringing this up. And that is because just as there is a physical detox time in our life, there are also spiritual detoxifications. Oh, yes, there are. If you stay on your spiritual journey long enough, you will come to know there are times that you are going to have to detox. Why? Huh? More than one reason. Quiet times are like detox tea. They are necessary to clear toxins from the soul. I call them the in-between times, and just like detox tea does not taste good, spiritual detox times can be very uncomfortable. People tend to get scared. Some people freak out. You know, as a counselor, I've dealt with many people who feel very alone, and I have to encourage them, you know, roll with it because it won't last forever. And also, there is a difference between being alone and being lonely. There are two different things, and I will go over that in just a minute. So I know during spiritual detox time, people on their spiritual journey, they'll tend to keep themselves very busy, you know, because they don't want to think about it. They'll contact people. They'll go to events that they would never on God's green earth attend if they weren't alone right now. I encourage you, if you ever go through a spiritual detox, which you should if you're on a spiritual journey, don't do anything out of the ordinary. Just sit. And just be. Roll with it. Let the thoughts come out. Let the Holy Spirit guide you and lead you into situations where you need to enhance perhaps your spiritual perception or gifts, as I call it. You really need to concentrate on the past and the present and how it correlates. You need to make modifications to do your future better. These are the times that you'll find the spirit realm will capture you and force you to do these spiritual detoxifications. Why? Why? Again, why? Well, you know, there are people in your life who probably shouldn't be in your life. That's one reason. Let me say that again. There are people in your life who should probably not be in your life. And the bottom line is sometimes we as emotional human beings, we can't even trust our own hearts. We can't trust ourselves with other people who aren't supposed to be there. But you see, heaven knows, God knows. And if this is going to be a hindrance on your spiritual journey, as in who you are and what you're supposed to be doing, these people can be detoxified out of your life. It can be a painful situation for a while, but you will see in the end, as that tapestry gets woven, that it was a very necessary part of your journey to have particular people taken out of your life. So that may be one reason why it feels so lonely. So let's go over alone versus lonely. Spiritual people, even Jesus Christ himself, spent a lot of time alone. We read the stories in the New Testament of how he was with multitudes of 5,000 people at a time. People following him everywhere. Crowds, it says, crowds on the Sermon on the Mount, crowds of people. But it also talks about the times in the middle of the night, the third watch, which is somewhere between 3 and 6 a.m., he would get up and go into the mountains, as such they are, Mount of Olives, where he would go in the middle of the sea and spend total alone time. Because if you're someone with spiritual gifts, you're going to discover you need this alone time. It's one thing to have people in your life, which, of course, if we're going to be on purpose, that's probably 99.9% of the case. You will be around people. But you need to take the time to expend to be alone. And if you don't do it, you may find yourself having to detoxify. Been there. Hand raised, done that. Whew. After a while, if I'm around people a lot, it's just like chickens cackling, blah, 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 blah. I mean, I get major spiritual ADD when I don't get alone time. I don't care what you're saying. You just become Charlie Brown's teacher, blah, 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 blah. I remember really being pushed one time to the limit. I had so many speaking engagements and bookings. I was traveling all over the country, and it got to the point where I was at a major city airport. I might have been Philadelphia. But anyway, I had just had enough of people. I had just had enough. I literally found a broom closet in the airport that I could kind of hide in for a little while just to get away from people. I mean, that was good. That was good. I needed to learn my limit. And I did learn my limit of how much I can expend with people without going through any alone time. And it was actually not that long, maybe a few days. But, you know, I'm someone, because I do operate in particular spiritual gifts as well, I really have to spend this alone time. And if I don't, my spiritual journey will cause me, my heaven will cause me to have to go through a spiritual detox, which, you know, sometimes doesn't taste very good. But anyway, there are certain people that don't need to be in your life. Let them go. Let them go. Don't run after them. Don't beg them to stay, because heaven is ordering your footsteps with who needs to be in your life and who doesn't need to be in your life. How do you know? Well, you know, because you keep trying to contact them, and it's like banging your head on the wall. You just never get anywhere with them. There comes a point in the case where you reside it, just say, okay, all right, God, I get this. You're in charge. You order my life. You order my footsteps. I'm just going to release this person, no matter how uncomfortable that it may be. Could be a family member. Could be a significant other. We don't know, and it can be very difficult during that detoxification time because you're alone. And, you know, you're alone is good. Loneliness is challenging. But I want to tell you something about alone versus loneliness. You could be in a room full of people. You could be married. You could have a huge family. You could be constantly surrounded by people and still feel lonely. You absolutely can. Loneliness is a state of the soul. A lot of people are lonely people because that's the state of their soul. And there's not any person or any relationship or any individual that could take that away from them. Sometimes life experiences, childhood traumas, or whatever it may be, will cause this sense to sit deep in your soul. And I'm going to tell you the truth. You just have to learn to live with it. You're going to have to learn to live with it. You'll be okay. A lot of people, they deal with loneliness. They deal with it. Loneliness isn't pleasant, but it doesn't have to take you out of your purpose in life. And you have to understand that loneliness is something that may just be part of your DNA makeup versus alone, which are periods of time where you're forced to kind of fold your wings in and reflect spiritually on what is going on in your life. I can remember some very painful spiritual detoxifications in my own life. But I got to tell you, those were times that I made the biggest strides in my life for my purpose and who I am and what I'm really supposed to be doing. Man, it's painful sometimes when you're detoxifying. I just want to iterate that because I want you to understand something. You'll survive. You'll be okay. You'll go on and you'll be bigger and better and stronger than ever before. You see, better people will come into your life when your spiritual detoxification is over. How do I know this? Because there is a spiritual ism for those of us who believe in God and for me follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. That spiritual ism is called restoration. There is a promise to you that things are taken from you will always be restored. Restoration is a gift to us because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So in knowing that, I can know that when people leave my life, better people are coming. Better people are coming. Yay! Yay for better people! Better relationships are coming. You're going to form better relationships if that's what you want. Some people don't want to be in a relationship, and that's okay too. Better career opportunities. They're coming. Better career opportunities are coming for you. I'll give you an example of that. You know, I chose a career path it wasn't easy. People in that business told me it wasn't easy. I didn't care. It's what I wanted to do. I started out in the radio business as a disc jockey, or what we call air personalities. Did it for 12 years. I was 15 years old when I started that job. I got into television when I got into my early 20s. I was a weather anchor and reporter. And then that moved on to bigger and better jobs. Ended up doing major market TV. Got an agent out of New York and got better jobs. Better paying jobs, and finally got to a point where I personally felt like I had arrived pretty much, which was in the business of major market TV, which is anybody in the broadcasting career knows that that is the ultimate goal, to do major market TV or radio. So anyway, with that comes contracts that, maybe 3 to 5 year contracts that you sign that kind of secure you into that position. But more than just securing you, it secures them that you're not going to quit and leave them with no talent to go on live TV or live radio. But that business in itself can be very difficult. You're very expendable. There's a lot of deadline pressure. In other words, hurry up and get it done now. Get it done 2 hours ago. And, you know, it's stressful. A lot of personalities, a lot of a-hole management. You know how that goes. They know you're expendable. You know, when you look at thousands of people who want your job, you're one of six people that's an on-air talent for a main seat anchor position in any given major market or city, then you know that you're expendable. There's thousands of people waiting to take your job. So sometimes you don't get treated very well. Sometimes it's not very fair. And I found myself in that situation. I know everybody says when their contract's terminated that it wasn't their fault, but I'm telling you, it wasn't my fault this time it wasn't my fault. The station I was working for in Pittsburgh actually went belly up. They went dark. I was the first of many cannings, okay? They didn't tell it like that, which they should have, which was a mistake. They needed to be up front with me and tell me what was going on. But I found out eventually. It's okay. But, you know, when I found myself all of a sudden out of a contract and I found myself being a single woman at that time who was living off of her own means, you know, losing a job is a very scary situation. And I had my faith, and I reached out to God, and I prayed, and I stayed close to him. And all of a sudden, here we go with the spiritual detoxification. Man, why now? Right? All of a sudden, I go from the world's busiest, I mean, most chaotic position to nothing, nothing. A lot of reflection, a lot of stuff going on with how my past correlates with who I am today and what I need to do to make changes to make a better future, to be in an on-target future. Boy, was that not fun. That was so not fun. I mean, I could hear God going, all right, you know, let's do some stuff. And I'm like, God, man, you definitely got my attention this time. He's like, well, good. About time. You know, who is anchoring, who is like, what you call that? Who's not? You don't drive a boat. Who's commandeering the boat? Is it you or is it me? Are you the pilot? Are you the captain or am I? Let's think about what's going on here. Yeah, I realize what a control freak I really am when I'm in detoxification. Double-edged sword, being a confident person. Because where you are a go-getter and you have the confidence to do things and you make it happen, the backside of that sword is when the sword swings the other blade, you turn into a control freak. It can be very good. It can be very bad. Sword swings both ways. But it's a reflection that I needed to understand. And it was a time in my life where I really started to realize that and some other personal things that happened that I really needed to figure out exactly who I am and what I'm supposed to be doing. And I figured out that I was on a journey just because of the incredible power of one's mind. I was making things happen that were to benefit me, as in how high can I climb and how fast can I get there. Well, that is not necessarily a bad thing, and I do think it does play in our spiritual role, in our spiritual journey. You have to understand the ultimate purpose of why you're here as a spiritual being is to make a difference. And I was definitely making a difference in my life, but I was not making a difference in the life of other people or doing what I call kingdom work, which is basically making a difference in the lives of other people and stopping suffering. It really got a hold of me. It was a great spiritual detoxification, though it was very, very painful, and I cried. You know, people don't think I cry. I don't know why. I guess I don't have the voice or the persona to think that I'm someone that would cry. I don't cry a lot, okay? But I do cry sometimes when I'm in spiritual detoxification, especially because I start to realize some things. But more often than not, the tears are tears of joy because I realize God's goodness to me and how it was him all the time, being so loving and patient with me, someone who could make things happen with my own mind, with the power of positive thinking. He comes along with his blood sacrifice and out of just pure patience and grace, loves me anyway, and opens doors for me anyway and makes things happen, from the smallest to the greatest. A lot of people think that, you know, God doesn't have time for them because with all the bad things in the world, their thing doesn't really matter. Your thing matters. He's your God, too. Your thing is just as important to him as everybody else's thing. It's not like you're so low on the totem pole because you haven't done good things. If you have children, you understand the concept of God. When you have children, they're never alike. You have, you know, one child could be Captain America. Another one could be like, oh, my gosh, it's like pulling teeth to get this kid to be right, to do right. You love them the same, though. You love them the same. They're all your children. God's that same way with you. In the end, when you have a calling on your life and you submit to that calling, he's going to have his way with you. If he has his way with you, that entails him spiritual detoxifying you, spiritually detoxification. It has to be done. You know, just like those of you listening to me today in martial arts, part of your training, sometimes you hate it. There were parts of my training I hated. I just was not looking forward to it. We have these advanced three-step combinations, and they're vigorous. They're just constant. To do them right, it expends a lot of time and energy. You sweat through every one of them, and I hate them all. I still hate them all. I hate teaching them. I wish I didn't have to teach them. But it's good for you because it takes everything you learned as someone who wasn't a black belt yet. We call that gup in Korean art. Your gup belt, white, yellow, red, so green, whatever, so forth. You learn these little basic moves, and when you become an advanced student, you have to put them all together. And when you put them all together, you finally come to the realization of why you had to learn these little tiny one kicks and these one blocks, because the goal is to put them all together in the end. And it's hard work, and it's a lot of focus and concentration. And they're not fun, but, I mean, if you don't do it, you'll never know why you've been studying anyway. You'll never understand the purpose behind it. So spiritually speaking, it is the same thing. Spiritually speaking, hang in there, guys. When you're going through a detoxification, I'm so glad I've lost the contracts that I did because I ended up getting better contracts. I had to get through the detoxifying, but I ended up getting great contracts with more focus and understanding of what I'm doing, what I'm supposed to be doing. Just sit and just be right now. When you're afforded these lone times where you don't have anything else to do, but you just have to sit and ponder these things. Somebody left you, someone's out of your life, you know, you've lost a particular contract or job, you're having health issues. Do you believe in God? Do you really believe in God? Then let go. Sit and be in your detoxification. It won't be forever. And you're going to be so much better off in understanding and knowledge. Let the Holy Spirit talk to you at this time. People don't understand that concept, but when you're on a spiritual journey, the Holy Spirit will talk to you. Just like when you're not on that journey, demons will talk to you. Sometimes demons talk through other people to get to you. Demons are real. I don't have a problem saying demon. I guess I'm supposed to, evidently, even the Christian organizations. Oh, don't say demon, you know, don't mess with demons. I have full dominion, power, and authority over the demonic. Full dominion, power, and authority. And I know when I'm being talked to by the demonic. I know when I'm being talked to by the Holy Spirit. Maybe I have a little more rank than some of you out there. Maybe some of you have a little more rank than me, for lack of a better way to put it. But we know, don't we? Seek it and you'll find it. That's what the teachings say. My book of books, the Holy Bible. Seek and you'll find. I gave you a lot of stuff to talk about today. To kind of like sit in and marinate in, and I hope you will do that. It's important stuff. I try to go over things you're not going to get at that dull, boring church you go to, which I don't know why you do, but good for you. I mean, if you get something out of it, go. I'm speaking more for me than anything. Trust me. I sometimes go to pay my respects, but honestly, sometimes I'm like, sit down, will you? Let me up there. You know what? Give me 15 minutes up there. I'll make an impact. That's all right. I'm making my impact on this little blog here, so I hope somebody's listening. Well, guys, I've got a lot of speaking engagements coming up here. And yeah, I'll be taking my detox tea with me. Don't you worry about that. And I'm sure I'll probably have to do some downtime and alone time to get away from people. Nothing personal. It's just I can't do my heavenly work if I don't do that. But let's go over some of these things. June 25th is a Saturday at 3 p.m. I'll be at Karate College, Radford University, doing a Hapkido seminar. That is in Radford, Virginia, which is in the southwestern portion of Virginia, my stomping grounds where I grew up, and I love it. Love going there. Hope to see you there. A lot of people I grew up with. Y'all come on out, as we say. We'll have a good time. That is June 25th. Contact Jerry Beasley or karatecollege.com. July 15th and 16th, Friday and Saturday, Who's Who in the Martial Arts, another Hapkido seminar, and awards dinner at Orleans Hotel Resort in Las Vegas. It is a tribute to our friend Bill Wallace, Bill Superfoot Wallace, for those who know them, in the MA industry. He's doing a seminar. I will be doing a Hapkido seminar, and I think there are others as well. You can contact Jesse Bowen at who'swhointhemartialarts.com as well. You can nominate somebody to be in that, or if you want to write a book, he's all on that. There's all kind of stuff going on there, and I'll see you there. I'm going to emcee that show, and I'm going to teach that seminar as well. Going down to October 7th and 8th, Friday and Saturday, Sport Karate Museum, Living Legends Tribute Dinner. I will be speaking at that in Houston, Texas. Contact Gary Lee or Sport Karate Museum Archives.com to register. Gary Lee. October 23rd through 24th, Saturday and Sunday, is Woman Camp. I will be teaching a Hapkido seminar there, Orlando, Florida. This is self-defense. It's not just martial arts. It's weapons, knives, and guns, which we will be teaching, which I am in the process of getting certified to teach as well. And you can contact Paul Puella to register for that event in Orlando. Woman Camp, come on out. Listen, ladies, it's time, okay? Bad, sad world we live in. Send your daughters out to something out here and get them an understanding of how to defend themselves, please. Women, we fit over 50% of us in this country are single. If nothing else, it will open up your awareness of some of the very simple things that you can do to defend yourself. Come on out. October 7, 2023 is yours truly's roast. It's over a year away, but we're plugging this now to let you know. I'm getting roasted. Now, let me tell you something. If you're going to roast me, this is a light roast. A light roast, okay? So I expect you not to say any mean things about me, but just in case you do, I got a whole list of stuff about people that I'm putting together right now. Because in the end, I get my say. Going to have a good time. Come on out. It's my roast at the Sport Karate Museum in Houston. Very honored. See Gary Lee for the details of that. That's next October, not this October, but next October. All right, guys, you know, we need to pray. We need to pray for this country, pray for its leaders, pray for our teachers, pray for our public servants, and pray for your family. Will you pray over your children? Do it every day. Pray over your spouse. Just pray, because it is energy going up to heaven. I'm going to do a whole show on that next, about how prayer works and why it is so important that you don't just say you're going to pray for someone, that you do it then and there on the spot. I'm an on-the-spot prayer warrior. If I tell you I'm going to pray for you, I will do it for you right there. I will put my hands on you and pray for you right there, because that's how I roll. That's it. I'm done. I hope you learned something. God bless you guys. See you next time on the Eden Assignment. Bye-bye.